Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to church. Thank you for an opportunity to gather and to learn about giving life, because that's who we are. We're life givers. So what a great opportunity tonight for us to learn how to do what you've called every one of us to do, so we can grow as disciples, because disciples are fishers of men. And so tonight, as we gather, we ask you to teach us individually, help us hone in on our fishing skills. Help us, Father, all of us, to increase in our knowledge and our understanding of how we can reach other people, what we can do to minister to other people, how we can ourselves receive life and give life. We thank you for helping us. We have a cheat tonight. We have the Holy Spirit who's within us. He's the inside tutor. He's the one who guides us and leads us from the inside. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do that, to minister to each of us, to guide us, show us how we can improve, and also show us who are we fishing for? What's the bait? How do we reach them? What do we need to do? Father, we just take a moment and we pray for the people whose names are represented by these fish up here and even other names. In Jesus' name, and Father, once again, we ask you to send a skilled laborer across their pathways. And Father, I know you have laborers. I pray for laborers that would be bold in Jesus' name and not be so afraid, not be afraid and fearful. We pray for laborers who will be bold, who would actually act on what you're prompting them to do and go and speak the word, give the gospel in Jesus' name to these people. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you. Tonight is our fourth of our life, fourth session in our life-giving initiative. Some of you may be here for the first time, like Cody, who's come from Colorado. Hey, Cody. They don't know who Cody is. Those of you who are going to camp will meet him, and the rest of you will probably meet him on Sunday, but we're glad you're here, buddy. Turn in your Bible, if you have a Bible, over to Matthew chapter 28. And I don't know, maybe you've been convicted the last couple Sunday mornings that maybe you should have a Bible. It's okay if you have your phone, because there's a Bible in your phone, right? So I'm not saying you have to have a, like, you know, pages and leather kind of bound Bible, but you need a Bible. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read these verses here, verses that Jesus gave before he ascended on high, and that are recorded in the book of Matthew, part of what we call the Great Commission. And it says here in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore,'" say go.
Go.
"Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Little comfort there for us. Amen. Now, we've read this many times. You've heard this many times. But the part I want you to really notice tonight, as we move into the message, the lesson we have for tonight, is the part where he says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. You know, Jesus said a whole lot of things to people who were on the earth that followed his ministry, his disciples, his followers, those who were gathered there when he ascended on high. He had spoken a lot of things to them. And some of those words were written down, and in the Gospels we have them recorded, and there's even other places in the scripture where Jesus is quoted. And he taught them. And then I want to remind you what Jesus said in John 6:63. He said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the words that Jesus gave people were life to them. And the Bible says, you know, over even in Proverbs, the Bible talks about how God's word is life to us. It even gives health to our flesh. So many of y'all have been here the last couple Sundays. Who hasn't been here the last two Sunday mornings? Some of y'all haven't been here the last two Sunday mornings. I want to encourage you to go on goodnewsaugusta.com and listen to the messages, particularly Sunday before last. What was the date of that, Nate? It'd be... Oh, Nate. It's called The Breath of God. We have part one and part two. Listen to the message, The Breath of God, because Matt, the last two Sundays, has been talking about the Word of God and how it is inspired. It's life-giving. And so tying into that tonight, as we talk about giving life, how can we give people life if we don't give them the Word? And sometimes I think we neglect the idea of giving people the Word. We forget that. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. But Jesus said to teach them to observe all things, or to observe what He said, give them His words. We have to teach people His words. We have to give people life through giving them His words. We have to give people life through giving them the Word. And when we give people Jesus, we're giving them the Word. But when we give them the Word, we're giving them Jesus. Because He and His Word are one, He said. Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus said something else. So a couple of chapters over, He said this. He said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Say the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth, when people come to know the truth brings people freedom. And whenever every person on planet Earth needs freedom. Even us here tonight, we need more freedom. We've been made free in Christ Jesus, but we only walk in our freedom to the point that we have knowledge. Knowledge of what Jesus has done for us, knowledge of our freedom. So even, you know, as you continue to come to church and you hear the Word, or you study your Bible, or read the Word, or hear messages that give you knowledge about the Word, if you believe that and act on it, as you know the truth, become intimately acquainted with it, know it, and start applying that in your life, you'll see yourself walk free. How many of you can say, yeah, I've done that? I mean, we could just stop right here and talk about some of the things we've walked free from. My goodness, just the people in this room, the things we have walked free from. Come on. There is freedom. Freedom in Christ, isn't there? There is freedom. And that freedom comes, Jesus Himself told us how freedom comes. It comes through knowledge, knowing, and not just general knowledge, but knowing the truth. And Jesus, we know, His Word is truth. The Word, Thy Word is truth, the Bible says. The Word of God is truth. So when we know the Word, know the truth, we become freer. Now we're talking about tonight, not just about you becoming free. We're talking about you ministering life and giving life to other people. How many of you know some people that need freedom? Y'all think those people whose names are on those fish up there, do you think they need freedom? Well, if they need freedom, and other people we know need freedom, one thing we know is they're going to have some knowledge of the truth. Now, I can say, after having ministered to people, I've been in ministry here at Good News Church almost 19 years, but I was ministering to people long before I ever showed up here in ministry. And many years of giving people life, the thing that is so common between, you know, from one to another, from every situation, from one person to another, the thing that is common to all is somewhere along the way I had to give people the Word. And if people really, you know, I have prayed for many people, and there is a freedom that comes as the Spirit of God comes in. He will bring liberty. But I tell you, the freedom doesn't last, and people don't stay free, and people don't really break free and have just a flourishing, free life without knowledge of the Word. They have to have the truth. The truth has to come in, and it has to break through whatever's been established in their lives. It has to break that open and bring freedom to them. And I just think about in your own life, situations you've had, circumstances you've had, and what's changed. And it's as you get knowledge of the truth that things begin to change in your life. And yet you may have an experience, and we thank God for experiences where one moment something happened, thank God. But the lasting freedom in your life comes from knowing, getting some knowledge. We know, I could stand up here the rest of the night and just read you scripture after scripture about how we need to feed on the Word, because Jesus said it's not enough for you just to have bread and water, or for you to have natural food. You gotta live by the words that come out of His mouth. So there's life that comes to you through His words. But also we know about, we have to wash our minds, the washing of the water of the Word. We know we are from Romans 12, we'll be transformed or changed. We'll undergo a transformation in our lives as we get a new way of thinking, renew our minds to the Word of God. Isn't that right? And then we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And awake to righteousness and sin not. And so really we break free of sinful habits by coming to know the truth. So it's so important that we know the truth. And the truth is God's Word, isn't it? I think sometime in the last couple of weeks, I've heard somebody stand up here and talk about how a lot of people don't believe that the Word is truth. But God's Word is the truth. And people have to understand that. So in giving life to people at some point in some place, we have to realize that we need to give people the truth. We need to give people the Word. And that's one big part of me and you giving life to people. Now, last Wednesday night, Nate talked about the gospel and what the gospel is and defined the gospel in the terms that Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15, basically the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and what that means. Well, that is the truth that people need. So whenever we give people that truth, the truth of the Word, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that on the third day God raised Him up. And when He raised Him up, He raised us up together with Him. And He raised us out of death. He raised us out of sin. He raised us up out of darkness with Him. That death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and all, I mean, we could... You know this. We could just preach and teach on nothing but what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's all that we ever talked about. We could still be doing messages and teaching and preaching about it. You could be meditating on it and thinking on it because there's so much in. What happened as a result of that? What does that mean to me? There's freedom for people in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But we have to know that, and we have to be able to communicate that to people, give that to people in order for them to experience freedom. They have to grasp the gospel. They have to understand it. So y'all, last week we handed out cards. Did anybody get a yellow card last week? Any of y'all even know where your yellow card is? Any of y'all ever, did you remember we took a few minutes and we practiced it? Do you remember that? It's the same yellow card. Candy, I know you weren't here last week. Same yellow card we've been using for several years here. It's just where we just go through and just simply give people the gospel. And so if you don't have that, if you weren't here last week or you don't know about that, these cards are available. And while you're in your groups later, I'll come around with these cards and I'll give you one so you'll have it. So you can keep it because you never know when you're going to need it. Because I'll just remind you right here, just the pickle story. Anybody remember the pickle story? I love the pickle story, so I'll tell the pickle story. Rhonda Ball, raise your hand, Rhonda. People might not know Rhonda. Rhonda's from Texas, and Rhonda went home to Texas for, was it your grandmother's funeral? Her grandmother had passed away, and she went back to Texas for the grandmother's funeral. While she's out there in Texas, they went to the funeral. They had some things happening, and she just got a hankering for a pickle, and she remembered this particular convenience store where they had these pickles that she really liked. And so they're driving along, and she said, y'all, pull over here. I want to get a pickle. And they whip into the convenience store, and Rhonda jumps out of the car and runs in to get a pickle. Very spiritual moment in Rhonda's life. You understand? Big moment of, you know, spiritual conviction you go in. So Rhonda runs in the store to get a pickle, and as she opens the door and goes in, the man behind the counter calls over to her and says, hey, it sure is hot. And of course, you know, they're in South Texas and it's summertime. Of course it's hot. She said, yeah, it is. He said, man, it's so hot. I don't want to go to hell. Now, I don't know how all that transpired, but I can tell you this. He is the Lord of the harvest. And He is sending laborers out into the harvest field. And that day, Rhonda was being sent as a laborer into that convenience store just because she wanted a pickle. So she's there. And for whatever reason, that heat was playing on this man's mind. And he's thinking, hell is hot. And if it's hot like this in Texas, I don't want to go to hell because it's really hot in hell. I don't want to go there. And so Rhonda's on her way over to the pickles. And he said, it's so hot, I don't want to go to hell. Rhonda just turned and just said, I'll be right back. And she remembered that in the car, in her purse, you know what she had? She had this, her card. Now, Rhonda's father is a pastor. Rhonda was raised with her behind on a seat in church every day, most every day of her life. You understand? But she went and got her card because she wanted to make sure she did it right. Not that she couldn't do it, but she just wanted to make sure she got it right. So she went to the card, she pulled out her card, and she came back in. Now she's ready. She's ready for, I don't want to go to hell. And so she just marched right up to the guy and said, you don't want to go to hell? Well, if you died today or 100 years from now, do you know where you'd go? So it all began, and she went through the card. And when she left that day with her pickle, he was going to heaven, and she was happy she had a pickle. So it's wonderful to be able to give people the truth in 2 or 3 minutes, the gospel. But she gave him the word. He's standing there concerned about the heat, and somehow or other that equated to hell with him. And he's concerned about it so much that just somebody walks in the door and that triggers those words to come out of his mouth. But what brought him freedom that day from his concern about hell, what brought him freedom out of sin and death, was the truth from the word that Jesus died on the cross. She found out that he didn't know about how to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of his life. So she took him through that process. Isn't that awesome? It's given people the word that really produces that life that they need. Because we're giving them life, we've got to give them the word. Now, many times people will ask you for prayer because you're a Christian, and some people know it. And that, you know, some people on your social media see the things you tweet or your post, things like that. Maybe people that work in your office see that, you know, you have a picture of a dove on your, you know, a little dove emblem on your coffee cup. Or, you know, they see a cross around your neck. I mean, come on. People know you're a Christian because you don't cuss like them, right? Okay. Well, I hope people know you're a Christian. But anyway, oftentimes, even if people don't know you're a Christian, people will ask for prayer. People will ask for prayer. And you know, the reason I think people ask for prayer is because they don't know how to ask for what they really need. They need help. And so they'll ask for prayer. But they don't know that what they may need is the word. But all they know to ask for is prayer, because that's kind of like the only spiritual thing that people know about is prayer. And so they're in a bad place. They have a need. So I'll ask for prayer, and they'll ask somebody like you or me or lots of people. They'll ask for prayer, just a general call for prayer. But what I have found is that when people don't realize that what they need is the word, they ask for prayer. And because they don't know what they need, that I don't let that stand in the way. What I do is give them what they need, whether they know it or not. So anytime I ever pray for anybody, whether I pray for them in person, you know, if I pray for people in person, I pray the word, because we've all learned to launch our prayers from the platform of God's word. So we pray the word. We don't just pray, God help them and bless them. We actually have things we can pray from the word, right? We know how to do that. And so, but then if people ask me to pray for them, and a lot of times, you know, they ask you in a way where you're not necessarily praying for them at that moment. Maybe they send you an email. I get people email me all the time and ask me to pray for them. You know what I do? I don't just say, okay, I'll pray for you. I actually tell them what I'm praying for them, because I'm giving them the word. It's not just that I want them to know, these are the words I prayed for you. I want them to have the word. So I don't just say, I pray for you. I say, this is what I pray for you. I give them the word. It's a way I can give people the word. So I can pray for them, but I can give them the word. And then you can even go so far as to say, read this verse, and you pray this verse yourself. Because their prayers, actually because of them exercising authority in their own lives, their prayers have more weight than yours do. So you can give them just in that simple moment. If somebody asks you for prayer, somebody has a need, or if you offer to pray for somebody, any of those situations, you can give somebody the word through praying for somebody. So that's a really great place to stick the word in there, and a good way to open the door for the word. And if you do pray for somebody, even in person, you can follow it up later by texting them or talking to them and saying, here's that scripture that I prayed for you. Follow up prayer with the scripture, because that's the thing. The word of God is where the power is. And so you want to give them the word, not just, you know, your words in a prayer. That's good, but give them the word. So that's a great way in giving life, because we're talking about how to give people life. We can give them the word, just a way I know to give people the word. Just a quick story I'll tell you. Steve Smith was a member of our church for many years. He was his job was transferred a couple of times, and now they live right outside of Nashville in Tennessee. But while Steve was still with us some years ago, Steve was a manager with Palmetto GBA, and he was a manager, and Steve kind of, well, anyway, I won't get into that. anyway, so Steve is in the office one day. He walks through the office, and he's got a lot of employees, and he walks by the desk of one of his employees, and he notices she's sitting at the desk, at her desk. She has the phone cradled right here, and she's weeping. And he goes on by, but he notices she hangs up the phone, and she just sits there, and she's crying. Well, if you're a manager, you have a lot of things in interacting with people other than get your work done. You have other responsibilities towards your employees. That might be news for some of you. You have some other, they have personal things you sometimes are required to get involved in, like if they're bawling at their desk, you might, they're causing commotion. You might, find out what's going on. So Steve, he walks over and says, "Hey, come in my office for a minute." Took in an office and closed the door. He said, "What's going on? What's happening?" He didn't know what was happening. Well, this particular lady was pregnant. She was several months pregnant, and she was on the phone. She was getting a doctor's report because she had had a test done where they checked the fluid in the amniotic fluid in the bag. And when they did, they determined that the baby had a genetic disorder, and the baby was going to be born severely deformed, or maybe not even make it to birth and be dead. So it was a death sentence for her unborn child that she was getting over the phone. No wonder she was crying, right? So now here's Steve, and this woman's in front of her, in front of him, and sitting there, and he's like, what am I going to do? And so Steve did, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Before Steve knew what he was doing, he starts ministering to the woman and starts saying, "Well, that's not the only report. There is a higher report than that." And he starts ministering to her and talking to her about the Lord and about God's healing power. And she was a Christian. She was a saved person, but she didn't know anything about God's healing power. She knew stories in the Bible where God had healed, but she didn't have any personal experience. And she certainly didn't know that God would heal her. I mean, she had a hope that he might, because he is God after all, but she had no real sense that he would heal her. Well, he just spent a few minutes ministering to her, and he prayed for her and spoke peace to her. I think he sent her home. But before she left that day, he went to his computer and he printed out a whole bunch of healing scriptures for her. And he told her, "You start reading these, and here's some scriptures that have been kind of, turned into first person that you can confess over your life. You can speak these over your life and over your baby." So he sent her home. Well, over the next few days, they have to decide. The doctor's on the phone saying, "You probably want to just abort this child, because this is not going well. I mean, this is going to end up in tragedy, and right now is when you need to do that." And she went home and talked to her husband. And over the next several days, through reading the scriptures, she came in and told Steve, "We decided we're going to trust God. We're not going to abort our baby." It was a really big step. And so through a series of events, Steve just kept giving her scriptures and just ministering to her, just giving her scriptures and talking to her and reading those scriptures with her and giving her more. And then he started giving her messages to listen to and giving her, things like that. And before long, she was kind of, doing pretty good. Well, anyway, the long story short, she delivered a happy, healthy, whole baby. Praise God. Thank God. That was God's power working in her life. But you know how the power came? Through the Word. Because somebody out on his job, someone in his world, on the phone, got a report. He just decided, "I'm going to give her the word." And he gave her the word, and the word did the work. Thank God. So you're giving people the word. When you do that, it can change. I mean, that changed a life. That means a baby lived and didn't die, and it prevented a great deal of heartache in somebody's life. So that's what I'm talking about, giving people the word. People need the word. So what are some ways that we can give people the word? I talked about a minute ago, if people are wanting you to pray for them, don't ever just pray for somebody and go on. Give them something. Leave them the word. And if maybe you're in a quick moment and you can do something to leave them the word. Pray the word and leave them the word in some way. You can direct them to a scripture. You can follow up. You can get, and thank God for technology. You can just get their number and start texting them. And you pray with them today, and you might just every morning for the next week send them another scripture. or just remind them of the same one. You want to get the word in people. Because people receive from God how? What is it that we have to have to receive from God? Faith. You're right. Faith. And how does faith come? By hearing the word. So we have to somehow or another get the word in people so they can receive from God. That's how their freedom will come. So give them the word. So that's one way you can do it. Sharing the gospel is another, just by the simple, Nate talked about last week, that salvation isn't just you get to go to heaven when you die. There's preservation, deliverance, there's healing, there's well-being, there's peace, all in salvation. So really, any time that you go through salvation with people, you can turn it towards whatever their need might be. Jesus did all this, the chastisement of our peace and well-being, the Amplified says in Isaiah 53, the chastisement or the punishment that was needed to obtain our peace and well-being was upon him. So all of that, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Physical healing is in the gospel. Peace and well-being of every kind is in the gospel. So you can go through the gospel and tell people Jesus took your place. You know substitution. He took your place. You know the great exchange. He gave you all that he has. He gave it to you. That's all in giving somebody the gospel. So you can just go through giving people the gospel, and in giving them the gospel, there'll be help for them. You'll give life to them. They'll get the word. They'll be free. All right. So you can do it that way. So you may have one of these. The good news you can use in one of those clips. You got one, Rhonda? Anybody got one? We're going to hand these out to you. Rhonda's got one. We'll hand these out to you in your groups in a few minutes. But this is available. We have these in our lobby on the wall there where we have Now Give Life tools. These are free. We'll make you as many as you can use if you want more. But these are just scriptures that have been formatted for where people can declare them over their lives, whatever it might be that they need. And they're about peace and healing. If people are feeling condemned about sin or convicted about sin, there's something here. Financial needs, assurance of God's love. If you need wisdom, I mean, it pretty much, there's a scripture in here that'll cover just about anything that anybody's dealing with one way or another. So you can pull this out. You can just get your pen and circle one, put a highlight by a few, or you can just tell them to say the whole thing. On the front, explains what they should do with it. And on the back, it's declarations of who you are in Christ, which every one of us need to be making in our lives. And so you can give this to somebody. Now, I just know for a fact that Eddie gives this to a lot of people or something like it. And if we had time, Eddie could tell us a great story about somebody that was a woman who manages, who's a salesman, and her sales staff was really suffering. And so Eddie gave her this, and she started confessing these things, and then she made everybody on the sales staff start confessing these. So, I mean, whether they're Christians or not, I don't know how they dealt with all that, but they did. She started sending offerings to the church because of these little confession sheets that she had gotten from the church, because this made such a big difference in their sales. Isn't that crazy? But she knew that it was the word that she was getting right here. It was making a big difference. Sometimes you just got to find a starting place, an entrance point. And a lot of times people, you tell them to start reading the Bible and they aren't getting anything. They're getting very little, but they can get something right here. And under every one of them is the reference where they need to go and look up the scripture. So they can, this gives them somewhere to start. They can read these and then they can say, okay, and then they can go to John 14:27 and read that verse in the scripture and then read the ones around it, and then life will come to them because they start taking in the word. Y'all see that? So we'll give each of you this. I'm giving it to you not for you. If you want one, there's one on the wall. I'm giving it to you because this week I want you to give it to somebody. And you can just keep them on you. My dad kept a version of these in his pocket all day, every day, and gave out thousands, probably tens of thousands, would you say, of these. He used to have them. Long story. Anyway, my goodness. Give people the word. And then just a couple more quick things here of how do you give people the word. Just what I just talked about a minute ago, give people what Steve did. Give people a list of scriptures about whatever subject that they're talking about. If somebody's telling you about a financial need that they have, you can just write down several scriptures, two or three scriptures that have ministered to you about that particular area, and then give them to them. You can mail them to them. That's old fashioned. You can email them to them. You can take them to them. You can text them to them. You can, you know, offer to tattoo it on their forearm, whatever that you need to do. You can give people scriptures about what it is that they have a need in. So that's really a great way to give people, isn't it? Really? How many of you, somebody's done that for you at some point in your life? They've given you scriptures about whatever area it was you have any. That's a point of entrance. That's where they need life. And it's the word that gives people life. I mean, your love is wonderful. Your soft shoulder to cry on is great. Your ear to hear all their problems, that's awesome. You know, your encouraging words. Oh, even your really great prayers. But I'm telling you, none of that has the weight, has the strength, has the power of God's word. And when you're asleep, the word will still do its work. If you give them the word, you can sleep. In the middle of the night, they have a problem, they can go to the word. They don't have to have you there. They can have the word. We want to help people get dependent on the word. We want to give them the word. That's why we give you the word, so you don't have to call me at 2:30 every morning. I can't remember the last time somebody called us in the middle of the night. That's why we give you the word, because you can take the word and receive from God. Because that's where our help comes from. Okay, so give them the word. And then finally, another way that's really good, I do this all the time, send people links to teaching. If anybody has any technological ability whatsoever, you can send them YouTube videos. There are such awesome things on YouTube that you can send people. There's great things about how to be led by the Spirit of God. Great stuff. Healing, huge. And if you'll go, you don't know what to send people, go to goodnewsaugusta.com. We have Faith Fuel there. Look through there and find some link to send to them. Send them a link. Send them links to goodnewsaugusta.com, to our podcast or to our recorded messages. And that's a great way to give people the word. You got to get people hooked on the word, and that'll change their lives. That'll give them life. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to break up for groups right here in just a second. Before we do and give you a little instruction, Rhonda, why don't you come? Because you're probably going to need to give people instruction about their groups. We're going to spend a little more time in prayer tonight in your group. And there's a couple of passages of scripture. The first one is about how Satan has blinded people's eyes. A lot of these people, the reason that they haven't been saved is because they've been blind. But you know what? Me and you have authority over the enemy. And so tonight, as we pray for people, we're going to take authority over the enemy who's blinded their eyes. And the second thing is, Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed for the people at Ephesus, and this is a good prayer for us to pray for anybody. These people, as well as anybody in your life that you want to give life to, even yourself, pray that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light. These are things that we're going to pray tonight. And I just want you, as we spend some time in prayer, I don't want the prayer part of our groups to be an afterthought, like, oh yeah, this is how we make everybody shut up from talking. I want you to understand, prayer is vital, and praying the word is critical, isn't it? Because that's where we exercise the authority that we have, and we ask God to intervene.